sit over there.
You want the pad?
Come on.
How long have you been doing this?
Hello.
For how long?
I think. It's
almost a year. Almost a year.
Almost a year.
A little bit of a year.
Make a year.
You guys can stay over.
100%. At the end of the year, there's a test.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, we're in the middle of discussing, or towards the end of discussing, the topic of Mesira being Moses Samudi over to the authorities, or to another boy, or even another Jew who's going to take money away from that person, not according to Halacha. That's called Mesira, and it has very stringent consequences for doing such actions, which we already discussed. Now, last week, we discussed the issue of a person getting damaged by somebody, let's say in his car, where halachically there's no claim of damages from the person who damaged, because halachically he was an onus or something like those proportions, so you've got no claim against him. So now you go claim against your own insurance company. But by doing that, by claiming from your own insurance company, getting the money from the insurance company now going to go after the person who caused the damage, which is not halachically, he's not entitled, not chayav to pay. Is that called Mesira? Because now you're telling the gunner, i.e. the insurance company, to chase somebody who's going to get money out from him, which is not according to halacha. So, we established last week on the Tosis. The Tosis said that if you're coming to protect your own interests, that money is due to you because you made, like in this case, you made the agreement with the insurance company and you're entitled to claim money from the insurance company. Now, by doing that event, the insurance company, without your input, are going to chase another person, Shloka Halacha. That is not your problem. That's called indirect Mesira. And indirect Mesira is okay if you're coming to protect yourself. So you're indirectly handing something else over to the gunner, the insurance company, but you're doing that because you have rights which you want to protect. So if you're doing those rights to protect yourself, then it doesn't matter the consequences indirectly. The gunner's going to take money away. That's not called Mesira, that you are obligated to refrain from. That's what we established last week. However, there is a big however. There's one condition, is that the insurance company doesn't need your input to go chasing that guy. But if they need you to sign over rights, that's saying, yes, you are now representing me in the courts to chase the damager, or I'm selling these rights to you to chase the damager, then that's not allowed, because when it goes to court, then it's basically you who are in court in the form of the insurance company chasing that person, and that is not allowed. And what we understood from Moshe Dayanim, I've spoken to, that they have mavarid this, they have clarified this in it, and they said the companies, generally insurance companies, if they need to chase something else, then they need your signature, and therefore it would be prohibited for you to therefore to give that signature over. And therefore, if you don't give the signature over, normally the insurance company says, well, if you don't give my signature over, I'm not obligated to pay you. So therefore, now your career, mikan, you can't claim for the person who damaged you because halakhaki doesn't have to pay. You can't claim from your own insurance company because they're not going to pay you unless you say, I'm giving my signature to claim from the person in the base mishpat, which is also not allowed. So therefore, you won't be able to claim your money back in certain sense.
What's the situation? What's the lockup? When you take out insurance, the whole world has understood that you take out insurance, that the other guy pays your insurance if it's his fault. And
it's not his fault. Halakhically, what's called his fault? Halak is according to halakha. According to halakha, this person.
No, the rules of insurance are.
What's the
you're
insurance?
Driving down the street, you're knocking somebody. It's your fault. You went in the back of him.
Halach, we don't care about what the insurance is. It's no worse than.
You signed the papers for insurance.
As he signed. Ruben signed the insurance.
No.
But Shimon.
Both sides take out insurance based on those rules.
Shimon, when he's not obligated to pay. According to Halach. So why should he lose? He's driving with insurance. But even if you claim from his insurance, he's going to lose. How is he going to lose? He has to have a higher Premium, and he has to make extra charges, which he's not obligated to do, because according to Halacha, he's not actually at all liable for the damage caused. Halakhically, this damage is not my fault at all. You've got no rights to take it. It's sent out of my pocket. If you do, in any form or manner, you're a gunner. Because I'm going to Halacha. Have you damaged him? No, I haven't damaged him according to Halacha.
This issue applies also to being a witness. Let's assume you don't have to sign. You're the damaged partner. You make a claim against the his insurance. Let's see. Now you said that it's a grama, not a grama, garmi, whatever. Does it also that if he signs over, he can't sign over? Is that also true if they call him as a witness? Because he's still the sayyid, he's not causing anything, but he is. How is that any different?
If they just ask you to sign a paper, this was the facts of the occasion, then okay. You're not lying, you're not turning up in any base mishpat, so that you're just giving over the facts of the events.
Still causing the other side to have to pay.
It doesn't matter, because if you're not actually the person who's bringing the money out, you're not the claimer in the court, because you didn't sign anything over to the insurance company, then that's okay. So to protect your own interests, you're allowed to cause indirect misira. So this is also indirect misira, because you're not the actual person claiming anything.
Let's say how luckily you are liable for damages. Can a person then claim an insurance, or you have to go to a Beis Din?
You have to go to a Beis Din.
So therefore in Israel there's no point in having insurance?
No, because you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din say he's obligated, and he doesn't want to pay, and he causes you problems, then you can go to your insurance company, or you can go to court yourself with
a
permission.
So any accident though in Israel, you would first go to Beis Din, with not
you will first go to, yes.
Well, because here the driver's almost always going to be Jewish. In America, the odds are you're going to have a gun.
You have a driver on the other side. I know if you go after the road, you go actually after... How do you determine if you have an accident in the States, and the other side is a Jew? And you take that into account, that he, Mamash, in this case, is a Jew, you go after the road, which is going. Therefore,
If you find that out along the course, you can go after the road, which is going. But if you find out he's a Jew along the way, then it's...
Don't ask him he's a Jew. But then you would also get the permission of the Beis Din. If you have a right, you'd get the permission of the Beis Din also.
Yes. The Beis Din would send you the insurance. The Beis Din would say, go ahead, go to insurance, because he's going to want you to go to the insurance.
If the person doesn't turn up for Beis Din, for sure they say go to the insurance. And if the person does turn up in Beis Din and obligate him, then the person himself would say, go to my insurance.
Right.
Insurance.
And so that's why they still have to go do the technical step of going to Beis Din.
I didn't understand what you said, among others. We're talking about grama.
Yes.
Now, grama in the future, the damage that the person would have if you are suing, or you have now signed it over to the insurance company, one of the damages you said that he has is in the future they may raise a fee. It's a sophist. It's in the future.
It's not a sophic. It's not a sophic. No sophic. If they get money from the insurance company, the premium goes up.
But he's not required to keep insurance.
He's not required to keep insurance. And even if he does keep insurance, the premium goes up, or he gets has to pay the
deductible.
The deductible, he's not obligated to pay.
Let me ask you something. Let's use our savings.
How does he drive the car without insurance?
And there's also, let me tell you a fact. In this country, you're only mechuyev to take basic insurance. You're not necessarily in this. That means against damages to physical bodies.
Yeah.
That's it. Not
that's so fast. Somebody has damage of a million shekels.
Yes.
And his future the fellow who did him damage would be an increase of 100 shekels a month. He's been damaged, This damage that he came, which is almost non-consequential, is sufficient to stop him from going to court, because it's not a lucky thing.
In such a case, you know what? The guy's clever. He says, I'll pay the 100 shekels per month, and let me go. And then, if he does that, we basically force him to allow him to do that.
Okay.
So now we're going to discuss this week that somebody's car got damaged. Right? And So way to fix it, the simple halakhic way to fix it is go to the mechanic and let's say he's got a dented door, to bang out the door and make it look nice. The insurance companies work differently. They say you go to our particular mechanic and he changes the door totally, which is much a higher expense, cost to get a new door altogether. But sure, that's how insurance work, and they don't mind paying for that. That's how insurance works. So, you get damaged by somebody, and halakhically he's mukhoyev, but he's only mukhoyev to give you 1,000 shekels. But the insurance are going to charge 2,000 shekels because they changed the door, and now they're going to go to him and get 2,000 shekels from him. Yeah, like your case. Are you allowed, even in a case where you had the permission to go to Basin because he didn't bother turning up, he had permission to go to the courts and everything to claim from your insurance company. Now you've claimed from your insurance company the 2,000 shekels they gave you. And they go and get the 2,000 shekels from the person, even though he was only mechuyev 1,000 shekels. Is that permitted or not? Is that permitted or not?
Why not?
Because if you're looking about halakhically what the one who damaged has to pay, it's 1,000 shekels. And by you going to the insurance company, you've caused him to pay 2,000 shekels.
Now, how does one determine the damage? So you get an expert to come to the bedroom. And he will tell you in this situation, the insurance company determines, not the individual, what it has to cost.
Damage is defined about how much it costs to fix the damage. And you, the insurance company, have no rights to choose that we don't want to fix it, we just want to replace it. That is not called my chiev to pay for replacement.
I've never heard of such a situation in my life that an insurance company will actually pay more than
usually. They do the whole time. Yes.
Of the shop. Because they are taking the chance of collecting what usually the other person is also insured. And so the other person, the damager, is not going to pay. It's the insurance company. That insurance company wouldn't be insured.
No, because they do the same thing.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Now, that's because they don't want to fill it in like you're saying.
So, yes.
They want to do the cheap, you're saying the cheaper job is to fill in and to just do
well,
a
fill it in,
job.
That's bang it out.
But it's not a perfect job.
It is a perfect job. If you're telling me it's not a perfect job, that's a good thing, but it is a perfect job.
They can usually do a pretty good job.
They take the leaf off the door. They don't change the door. They take the leaf off the outer leaf.
No, they're... First of all, today's door is a Amish plastic. They can punch it out. They can read the story.
So what we've learned up to now, what would you say in this case? What would you say in this case? Is it permitted to go to my insurance company without signing over rights to go to the damage, without signing those rights over, go to my insurance company, get the 2,000 shekels, which is for replacement of my door, which has been smashed, and then they will go to the one who caused damage, and he'll pay the 2,000 shekels, when halakhically he only has to pay 1,000 shekels, because he doesn't have to replace doors, he just has to fix doors. Is it halakhically correct in such circumstances, when we're talking about he doesn't sign the rights over to claim, or he's got permission to sign the rights over to claim from the basement? What would you say under those circumstances?
Well, I think it would depend. If the insurance company gives you no choice, then I think you would be allowed to. Because he's the one that's been goring that it costs you that much more.
Can you speak louder?
Hear me, might hear me.
Rav Matis is saying, Rav Matis is saying, my voice is much better than his. Rav Matis is saying that if the only way to get any money from the insurance companies is to allow them to pay you the 2,000 shekels, then, of course, if you've got no problem of getting the other guy in trouble because you didn't hand over insurance, or you got permission ready for the basin for it to be changed, then it's not your problem. You're just protecting yourself. This is protecting. He's going to have to pay more, so he has to pay more.
Well, then I'll take you to court. I'll have to pay the difference.
Hmm?
And he'll take you to court.
The basin.
I'm saying
if the insurance... Did the insurance company give you a choice? Like, could you have gone to a cheaper place if you wanted to?
You went to Basin?
Yeah, took me to Basin.
And let's say he doesn't. He's somebody's not religious and he doesn't go to base things. Are you not free to compensate him out of your own pocket before Rosh Hashanah? You don't want to have Shiloh's looking at him, but or not?
Based on what you said, yes. I mean, based on the previous case where there was no halachic liability, even though you were going to take a loss of $5,000-$10,000, too bad.
But we said it's only too bad because you weren't allowed
right.
to
so here you're allowed.
Call the government to chase him.
Right. So
but here, I'm allowed to call the government
for $1,000. I'm sorry, 1,000 shekels, not for 2,000. You're allowed to for 1,000. Anything above and beyond that is you're not entitled to.
And if I don't hand over, even I don't let's say we don't have to sign over permission.
It's irrelevant. You're still getting taking more than 1,000.
But I'm protecting myself.
This every is case is protecting yourself.
But it's indirect. Yes, it's misira. Yes, but it's indirect misira, and I'm protecting myself in indirect misira because it's indirect, because I'm not signing my rights over. So it should be permitted.
Well, assuming his basin was right, in his case, then it wouldn't be permitted.
Okay, so without knowing knowledge, we're just using svaras. Without knowing you, his
right.
suck over there.
Api svara,
what we learned up to now.
We learned you can only take what you're entitled to.
No, what we learned up to now is you can do the sira indirectly as long as you're not the one in court because you didn't sign over your rights. That's what we learned up to now. So yes, it's with Sira because he has to pay more. But are you signing your rights? Let's say you're not signing the rights over. Or you have permission to sign your rights over. Or you have permission to sign over your rights from the basic because he never bothered turning up. Are you allowed to do that just to get the money which you deserve? According to what we've said up to now, everyone will scream loud and clear that you are allowed. So let's see the first Marumoto.
So for 100 shekels you have to go to basement?
Yeah.
I'm saying it's just a knock and scrape the paint off and you need to get the paint repainted.
If he doesn't agree,
where do you want to go? You want to go to the insurance for 100 shekels?
No.
Everybody, 100 shekels, you want to do anything? Just take it.
The person agrees.
If I want him to pay, he's just saying to me,
I agree, I'm liable to
get a
bad
okay, so he says he wants to give you a matana.
And he says,
for 100 shekels, most people are not going to want to
have if he wants to pay you, fine, then we go. Then we might as well close up to the basin's closed up.
So he says, I want to pay you via my insurance. Company,
if he wants to do what he likes, he can
what
do what he likes.
Okay, then you don't need
outside
basement.
Deal.
What?
Outside deal.
So
he didn't want to, so you can take him to the basement.
The basic stock says, a basic stock says like this. Base shukin. Two shukin, the buyers who own a house together. She'en bo din chalukah, a house which they can't split, they have to live together. For what's the echad lahaskir chalukah? One of them wants to rent out his portion in that house. And according to the law of the country, if you don't rent out houses, you don't pay any tax. But if you rent out even a part of the house, you have to pay tax on the whole house. So, so the person says, I don't want you to rent out your portion, because by renting out your portion, you're going to cause me to pay tax.
Where do you mean? I thought it was Ein Bodin Chalukah.
Ein Bodin Chalukah, meaning we can't split it, but you got rights there and you want to rent it out to somebody else.
How does he rent out his portion?
Reuven and Shimon's living together, now Reuven wants to rent it to his. Instead of me, Reuven, I want to rent it to Levi.
Oh, his right.
Yeah, his right. So basically, so to ask this question, can I look after my own interests?
At the expense of him.
At the expense of him, because when I look after my interests, I'm going to cause him to pay tax on his portion.
Why is it expensive? Doing the zero?
No, the damages to do with damages.
Why is it his problem? Why should he have to? Well, I should have to pay the whole. The renter should have to pay the whole. Yeah, but it's because of the rental. It's only because of the rental they have to pay
yes.
taxes.
Right.
The first guy's not renting anything.
Yes, but the law is you rent out a little bit, the taxes on the whole house,
so the guy,
and then the bill, where will the bill go?
Tax.
The bill will go to Reuven half and Shimon half.
That's the question.
That's the question. Reuven says, I'm renting out mine, and I pay the taxes on mine. I use Shimon get taxed.
Oh, right. Reuven should pay Shimon's taxes.
No, why? Why should I pay taxes? Because
of the rental.
But
no.
I caused you to pay taxes. But why should I'm just doing it out of the government.
I am making this by my action. I'm making this house a rental property. It's not even a grummer. It's direct peasant.
I'm causing the government to unlawfully create.
Why unlawfully?
Place a tax on you.
Is it unlawfully?
Because normally, the reason why this law exists is because usually the owner of the house is the sole owner. You don't normally have partners. But over here, if you ask the country, they say, look, we wouldn't naturally put the tax on somebody else, but that's the law, we're going to put it, the local law,
it doesn't make
a lot of laws, a lot of second laws,
are
but like a local law.
Are we assuming it's unlawful? It doesn't say it's unlawful.
It happens to catch people.
Yes. So it's usually administrative,
but it's
kind
one
of
laws. He's doing something in his
They weren't made for this situation.
It was, because they usually say, we don't want to be macaulay between people. We're just going to make one.
It may cause damage.
Yes.
You're going to tell me 60%, 30%.
Similar to our Shiloh.
This is the law.
I'm protecting my ownership by claiming for the insurance. Even although by doing that, it's going to cause unlawful money being taken out from the damager. Similar Shiloh. Can I look after my own interests even though it's going to cause damage to somebody else?
I don't understand. Why is
that unlawful? Because the bill is going to Shimon, yes? It's in Shimon's name, the bill. Reuben caused it, but Shimon is in the name. Reuben's saying, I caused it, yes. But I'm just doing what I own. According to our locker, I'm allowed to rent out my portion. According to our locker, according even to the Medina, I only have to pay tax on my portion. The bill, yes, I caused the bill on Shimon. Okay.
Now Shimon can rent out his half too if he wants.
Yeah, if he wants.
Why is that unlawful? You say unlawful.
Yes.
Unlawful is on halacha.
Yes.
Why is that halacha if someone is using his own property?
No.
In a legitimate way.
Yes, yes. No. Halachically, he's allowed to rent out his own portion.
Yeah,
halachically, he has to pay the tax on his portion, but not on his. The bill was never sent to me. Why should? So we're asking. Well, we're asking, but maybe that's called a damage, which you're not allowed to do. You're
how
damaging him.
How could it be a situation? I'm not getting the basis here. That you're doing something which you're perfectly permitted to do, and at the same time, that's a nezek.
Because you may be halakhically allowed to do your thing in your property, but if you know there's going to be a resultant cause and effect that you're damaging him, maybe we're going to say that you're not allowed to do that.
Is that similar to the second paragraph about you can't dig a hole too close to the wall, even though it's on your property, because it's going to cause damage to your neighbor?
This is worse than that. This is even worse than that.
Why?
Because this is more direct. This is more direct. So the Beis Yitzchak answers like this. He says, you know what? It's a Shulchan Aruch. He says, number three, the Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Shin Tetzvav, he says like this. Reuven Socha Na... Sorry, number...
3B.
3B, yeah. No, number two. Mochwa la Akim, Mishamtin Leila Mocha, Atam Kabale, Kol Unsa di Sadin Leila Bal Metzim Akim. If you sell your house to a Goy, by having a Goy move in, you're causing damage to your neighbors. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to sell your own property to a Goy, because you're going to cause damage to your neighbors by doing that. Says the Torah, but Yesh Machalkin, they say it depends. Hey, Chasha Ein Mechwila Panosa Ela Rabeach, go Liknos Achaz Yosetova Yosekova Oz Ein Rishaylam Kav. If the only reason why you're selling the property is in order to gain some sort of profit, you want a profit at the expense of somebody else getting damaged because the goy moves in, you're not allowed to do it. Even if you can't find that profit by selling to the goy, Yisrael, there's no Yisrael going to do it. The only goy is going to be a goy. You're not allowed to do it if you're trying to get profits at the expense of somebody else, i.e. the neighbors. Abba wrote to the Mechel Bishop Panosa, but if you're in a desperate, dire straits, you can't support yourself even. And you need to sell your property to survive, to look after yourself. then you're allowed to sell it to a goy. If you can't sell it to Yisrael, you're allowed to sell it to a goy, even though it causes damage to your neighbors.
But if this was in the U.S., you'd be arrested for discrimination. If you put up a for sale sign,
okay,
a choice I want to buy it, you say,
no, I can't
sell to you.
You would not be arrested. You'd be sued.
Okay.
Big difference.
Well, you could be criminal liable also for discrimination.
Nope. Not a crime.
In God we trust.
Nope. Cost a lot of money.
In God we trust.
Obviously not in America.
Yeah.
So, we see from here, says the Beis Yisroel, if you're doing to look after your own interests, with your own rights, and you're doing it in order to make a gain at the expense of your neighbor, you're not allowed to do it. But if you're looking after your own interests to survive, to protect, to save a loss, then you're allowed to do it at the expense of your neighbor.
So if Reuben was poor, he'd be allowed to do this?
Yes. So therefore, says the Beis Yitzchak, that if you've lost something and you want to compensate yourself, and the only way to compensate yourself is by causing an indirect loss to your neighbor, you're allowed to do it, because you've lost something. But if you haven't lost anything, but you're just gaining an extra bonus at the expense of your neighbor, even if it's indirect damage, you're not allowed to do it.
So, just I want to clarify what this gentleman said, because it's not the same thing you're saying. It has nothing to do with what I understand with a poor person or not. It has to do with whether or not on this particular sale he's losing money, but he wants to limit the loss.
No, he's not losing money.
Wait, let's find out what, because I'm hearing two different things.
Yes, it depends. If you've lost and you want to compensate the loss, even if you're rich, and you've lost but you want to compensate the loss, then you're allowed to save the loss at the expense of your neighbor in direct damage.
Nothing to do with
but if you just want to make a gain, a bonus, you haven't lost anything, you just want to make a bonus, at the expense of your neighbor, you're not allowed to do a bonus.
Is the tie to this property?
What is the panosa?
Panosa, that is, that you're trying to protect yourself, otherwise you won't be able to survive. Or you will protect yourself.
Oh, but that's even if you didn't incur a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. That would say that's a chiddush, even if you don't.
So we clear now?
Yeah.
It's on that particular. On that particular transaction.
Yes.
No, but he's poor otherwise and he can't feed his family.
He's allowed to.
He's allowed.
Yes. Yes. That's also true. That also comes under it.
So there are two aspects to
this. That's called a loss. That's called that. I'm not just making a gain. What's the logic behind this? What's the logic? What's the logic? No. What's the logic? You tell me. Tell me. What's the logic? What's the logic? Why, if it's a gain, you're not allowed to do it? If it's a loss, you are allowed to do it. What's the logic behind it?
Because you're protecting yourself.
Yeah. If you're protecting yourself, you're allowed to do it. You're protecting yourself because you've got no panos, you're protecting yourself because you've actually lost something, you're allowed to do it. But if it's just to get a bonus, you're not allowed to do it.
What is the business of the police law? If you're looking at this transaction, it's very easy to see if you're making money or losing money. But if you're poor...
Right. How do you define poor?
How do you define poor? And who's poor?
Exactly.
And what's that?
So based on the look. Based on the look at your expenses, income, outcome.
The guy splits his apartment. He buys an apartment that's too expensive for himself. But he makes a little apartment on the side to pay the mashkanta. Is he at the expense of his neighbor? Because he builds out something more over his neighbor. Is he allowed to do it?
Oh, that's different.
Why?
Because you may not have rights to do that. Here we're talking about...
He has rights. He has rights to build out. But he causes his
halakhic
neighbor...
rights. Maybe you don't even have halakhic rights to build out at the expense of your neighbor. That's different. We're talking about selling your own property. That is, of course, you're allowed to do that. So going back to our case of the insurance. Yes, you're entitled to 1,000 shekels. You're not entitled to 2,000 shekels. So now the insurance said, look, we're not going to give you a cent. We're only going to give you 2,000 shekels. And we're going to chase him for the 2,000 shekels. So the halakha says, for the 1,000 shekels, you're allowed to cause him to get a loss. But for 2,000 shekels, you're not allowed to get a loss, because that's a bonus. So what do you do?
He doesn't take the two.
So what should you do? So you can take the two
and then give him one.
You can take the two and now chase after him for the two, but then you're more clear because you cause a loss which is out of a bonus as well. You're more clear to compensate him the $1,000 back. You have to give the $1,000 back. And if you don't, even if he doesn't ask for it, you're more likely to go and give it to him, because it's called Gesell.
So you may not want to make the claim then. You put it in the behind afterwards. As they've replaced your door, you've now out of pocket $1,000, and your premium might go up for playing with the insurance. I mean, it may be better just to do nothing.
Depends on the figures. Look at the figures.
Let's say you have this situation. Often the insurance company doesn't give you a check. They say you go to, you pick one of these places that work with us, and you can get your car fixed there. That's the only choice. Those places charge 50% more than any other place.
That's called you got a bonus. If
I didn't get a bonus, I didn't get anything more.
I tell you, if it's like we charge you just 50% more because we're the Mercedes actual
we have you over a barrel.
Or do we say we're giving you extra expense because we're actually giving you something better called
a replacement door? They're not giving us extra expense.
They are. They're charging you 2,000 shekels.
They're not charging me anything.
No, but they're charging the insurance company 2,000 shekels because they've given you a new door.
No, they're giving you the same door.
So then that's,
but they only
so
deal
that's
with certain
yes.
places.
That's different.
They pay the workers by every
different. So you didn't get anything.
Now, this gets very, very complicated because you would have to go to Bed Bath and establish, or somebody would have to establish the better door. Or it's just a regular door charge
yeah.
too high.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It gets
impossible.
Very
no, it's not. It's not possible at all, and it's very simple. Tell you why. Because
who makes the decision? I want
if you get a change of door automatically, it's a bonus. Change of door is a bonus. Change of door is called a bonus. A change of door is called a bonus. A change of door is called a bonus.
Why?
Because a change of door always costs more than actually fixing the door. Unless it's a write-off.
They can't fix
it's not true.
Unless it can't
but
be fixed.
How are we going to prove that the door's not twisted slightly? And they do know that
yes.
it's twisted
yeah.
slightly. And the person will never know whether it's twisted slightly.
The person has to go to basin beforehand.
But how will anybody prove it?
Prove it beforehand.
We have no idea what's going on.
Beforehand. And this case, you know what happens? Happens about 10, 15 times a year in basin. And they do come to basin, and they come beforehand, and it's very easy to find out, and it's very simple. So, don't use that excuse, which many people say, I don't want to go to basin because it's too complicated. That's your Yetzer Hara speaking over there.
Spoken like a real
Diane. Okay, let's move on.
And who pays the expense to go to basin?
Right.
We're not secular courts. Everybody pays their own expense. Unless it's an unlawful claim, obviously unlawful claim, then the person is on purpose bringing you to face it. In order for you to waste your money, then if you prove that, which is very hard to prove, then you can get your money.
Expenses.
That's usually the way secular courts work too.
No, what second course is giving you expenses?
Remember, being a Yid is not about the money. It's about doing the right thing.
I just heard something.
The United States is very hard to get expenses.
Very
hard.
Depends where, if it's...
There's no law
depends what type of case it is.
In England, there's a law like that. But in America, there's no law like that.
Depends what type of case it is.
There's no law like what?
To pay the other side's expenses.
I'm sure you say. In this case, it's also looking at insurance.
If it's a class action case, normally they give a expenses.
In a regular case, they give expenses.
Now, let's move on next case. A worker is working in a factory. Right, that's what he's employed to do. And he's cutting garments, buds. Material. That's he cuts material using the machine, the electric machine. And every day, normally, there is a dangerous machine. There's a guard on it. A guard on it to prevent any accidents. The boss of this day saw that because of the guards and the machine's getting older, it's slowing up the whole process and he's not getting enough garments produced because of it. So he took it off today, the guards. Took the guard off. The worker walks in, he sees the machine without the guard. He asks the boss what's going on. He said, look, it's working too slow. We're working without the guard today. The worker starts working. After half an hour, 45 minutes, accident happens, his finger gets cut off. Now, there's a claim that, of all the claims you can think of, there's a lot of money to be paid according to secular law under circumstances. Is the employer, but now they go to basin because both are from the Yidden, is the employer mechuyev to pay for that damage?
What are the two sides?
And can the employer's got insurance, and can the worker go after that insurance? That circumstance.
What's the yes?
What was said when he came in.
Now, from your natural knowledge, whatever you've learnt, be in, be kia, stuff, yomi, or baba kama, is there any halakhic reason for the owner to pay for the finger which gets cut off?
Life is even the most
depends what was said when he came in. But I'm not using the machine. If I use it, you're responsible.
No, he doesn't say that.
No, I think there's probably an implied thing that the owner invited him in, and he assumed that the owner knew what he was doing and that he would be willing to pay.
This is a very common shayla, because this similar shayla happens. You know, you go to the swimming pool and kids run, even parents sometimes run, oh, slip, bang, get hurt. Yes? Is there any give of the owner of the swimming pool in such a case to pay for the damage? Before we talk about the insurance and talk about going on,
does he have a marker?
It depends if he was negligent or not.
Right. Is it
grab him?
Well, you can't help water getting over the side
was
of the pool.
The fellow
that's
negligent.
Well, that's right. So if you run.
No, it wasn't negligent.
Here you're talking about a machine without a car.
The halakhically. Which is. This is everyone think about this, no?
Halakhically, he should be exempt if there's no negligence.
Halakhically, he should be higher. But then you, as Matt said,
there's a chiyuv and shmira on, even though the other guys were supposed to be there. Yes.
Logically.
A chiyuv and shmira on the thing that is placed. He has a dangerous piece of equipment. Even if he knows about it, he's still a chiyuv and shmira.
Let's say the worst case scenario. He's negligent. Even if he's negligent, what are you going to get him for, the owner? What type of damage? He physically damaged him? No. His money damaged him?
Yes.
His money damaged him? Yeah, so what are you going to claim? Rikui? Refuah? You can't claim refuah only if somebody physically gets damaged, not if your money damaged
whatever
somebody.
You're going to be entitled to is not going to come close to the workers' company.
Yeah. So, therefore, halakhically, either in many cases you're not hired to pay a cent, because you're maybe not even negligent, halakhically. And even if negligent, there's very limited amount of money that you can get from the person. And this guy's claiming, you know, 1 million shekels. And so, the question is, can he go to his insurance now? For that 1 million shekels?
Halakhically, like you said, if halakhically in the first place he has no claim, he cannot turn to the insurance company that will make the claim on his behalf.
Now, the rule in this shir, you haven't been here long, is that if it's exactly the same as the previous case, I wouldn't repeat it. So there must be something here that's flying around that may be slightly different over here. And the idea is, even though it's late at night and it's the end of the week and everyone's very tired, it's to use those minds of yours to think.
Sure, there's a major difference.
Think there's in maybe a difference.
In the car, you didn't ask for it. You had nothing to do with it. That guy did whatever he did. But here, you voluntarily went and used the machine. That's a major difference.
So since you shouldn't even be. You're saying it's even worse here. You're saying that for sure you can't claim. Because the worker.
Yeah, but we say by a shoya, even if the worker's gone into the field where the shoya is, and he gets him.
Yeah. And you slab all, that's if the shah. Wait, but here we're talking about money damage and it's the owner's and not negligent, it's limited money. He's claiming 1 million shekels, so never gets
what
1 million shekels.
What damage is he causing by going to the insurance?
Go to insurance. He came from the insurance. What happens when you claim from the insurance?
But he's mechuyev to inform his insurance anyway.
What happens if there's a claim against
your
insurance?
Premium goes up.
Yes.
But he's mechuyev to do that anyway, or it's gezel. If he doesn't inform the insurance, then they keep the premium low, it's mamash gezel.
Why? If he doesn't pay?
No, it doesn't matter.
Why?
He's mechuyev to tell him about any accident that happens in Norway.
Only if about the premium goes up automatically, even without any claim?
No, it may not even go up with a claim. It depends on the circumstances.
Does premium go up? Does premium
to report the
incident. Does the premium go up?
It might.
Without the claim?
No. I don't know about Israel. The United States of America.
I don't know about Israel either, but.
Yimmy says.
We've already established.
Yimmy, our expert insurance guy here.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Ted
tells us.
14 years plus one
that
week.
It does not go up unless it's a claim. So that's the question. Can he make the claim? If the guy's not halakhically liable And you go make that claim, and you cause him now to pay more, which is not unlikely liable. Are you allowed to do it?
Okay. Somebody called me tonight with such a claim. Somebody got hurt in someone's house. They fell. And they want to sue the policy. Same thing, like... I didn't cause the guy damage. The guy fell.
The guy that fell for you? Called you?
The owner of the house.
The owner of the house. The owner of the house fell?
How's the other guy going to get money now? Who wants the other guy to get money?
Oh, so he wants you to
pay for it. Should the other guy get money this long?
And can you help him on nothing?
let's ask the shower after the claim. Okay?
Look, we want Jimmy to come again. We do not talk about personal cases here. That's also another rule. Okay. So I see that I give everyone any thoughts?
Well, that's what we're about to
do. I'm at the edge of my chair. I got to hear this one.
Okay. Okay, so it says like this. Number 3. Reuven Sochanal Shamsha. Reuven hires a child, a lad to work for him. V'omelo Shimon lismoch olav nishan lo kol ma sheyafsid b'yosan na b'beisan. And Shimon says to him, you know what? Pay him, and you know what? Any damages that come about through the employment. Yes, oh, yeah, you've got good memories now. You still have to do the test. He says to him, you know what, if any damages happens to the worker during his employment, I'll pay for it. Even though there was no actual contract written about it for Farish, then he has to compensate for that damage that takes place. So we see from here that even if halachically you're not responsible, but if there's a contract that says I take on responsibility, then you have to pay for the damage that takes place. So therefore, when you employ a worker into your big factory, there is an automatic implied condition that when you're working, I'm working in your factory, then you will be responsible for any damage that happens to me in the course of employment. Because of a contract or agreement, if therefore A, damage takes place, then you're mechuyev to pay for that damage, not because of hilchus mazik, but because of hilchus contract.
What's the source of that employed contract?
Because all factories are not allowed to have workers working for them unless they have insurance that covers damages.
So it's because of Dinah Machas.
Yes, not Dinah Machas, because of Minag.
But it's not Hesed. It's not Dinah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because of the Minag.
Hold on a second.
Factories take on that they have to have.
It's not true. In the Shmata business, it doesn't matter what you have to have. They don't have it anyway. That's the Minag. So if that's the minhag, you're saying that they should be part of
it. Car insurance is definitely a minhag.
So when does minhag trump halacha?
What?
When does minhag trump halacha?
Minhag trumps halacha because minhag is basically saying that we're making a condition. You, in Momenus, you can always make conditions.
That trumps
minhag. Now, conditions only work if there's a contract to make a condition on.
No, or anything like that?
There's a condition. But it only works if there's a contract for the condition to work on. So there's always contracts between workers and employers.
Always?
Employers and workers. Yes, sir, I'm employing you to work in my thing. So now...
Contract. Let's say I don't sign a contract.
Doesn't matter if you don't sign it.
But if the law is mechayev me, is that considered a minhag or
no.
A contract?
No. It has to be a minhag of the place that this place has in it. These places have to have insurance, and therefore, when you're coming to work on it, it's understood that insurance will be part of your contract. You're paying me $10 an hour, plus in the event that I get damaged, you're also going to compensate me. That's like it's written in actual contract, which you have, because that's the minhag of this mokum. Now, if you're correct that this particular industry never takes out insurance, then you're right. then you wouldn't have to be.
Let's say, I'm not saying it happens, but let's say the guy has a bunch of illegal workers there. But clearly he's not caring about...
Hypothetically.
And let's say even this guy that's claiming is an illegal worker. So then you would say the same thing? That
yes, because if he has for his legal workers insurance, then he is understood that part, unless you speak out the famous...
Well, the reason I hire illegal workers is so I don't have to give them what I give
no,
them.
No, the reason why you hire illegal workers is that you don't have to pay taxes. And
that's what I mean. You don't have to,
but this is not taxes. This is part of employment in the factory.
What?
You would never hire illegal workers.
Isn't there a step missing?
I would never be in this part of business.
I just want to focus in on that for a minute.
Not the most crooked thing you have anything to do with.
You have the first step is that the employee works for you.
Yes.
There should be an implied understanding that the placement is safe for you. The next step is, if it isn't safe to work, I will pay for it or the insurance company. But that little step is missing in what I heard. And that middle step is the crucial step, that I'm assuring you that it's safe for you to work. When somebody goes into somebody else's property
no,
and there's machinery there, unless he is more...
I'm not assuring you that this is a safe place to work. There's many jobs in life which are very...
Like a soldier.
Like a soldier or somebody... or working for the electric company and you have to climb up the pole 50 meters and you fall down. You just read in the papers every week, a guy falls down from the high heights.
A big difference here. Why?
That's part of the job. It's
a
dangerous... there's a dangerous element in all industry. Therefore, I do not...
Generally, when there's a dangerous situation,
yes,
everybody, electric company, still plays by its rules.
Yes.
If someone gets hurt, despite all the efforts they made, I hear. But here, he had a covered machine,
he took
and
it off.
He took it off. He made it non-safe.
Yes.
He's not playing by the game.
Yes.
He has now broken the implied contract.
Yes. Of one part of it.
That part that says...
That I have to make it safe.
No, the part that has
to be safe.
No.
Not because I have to pay.
You're putting that in my... I'm saying something else.
Yes, because I'm preempting your question.
No, you didn't hear it. Then you didn't have it.
I did. Because you...
No. You're talking about safe as an objective standard.
Yes.
I'm talking about doing the best to safeguard.
Yes.
That's not the same thing.
Okay,
I understand.
I heard you. So now, let's say you're right. And he's breaking that part of the contract that this has to be... fine, so he's broken that part.
Why is he responsible?
Because I haven't agreed to releasing you from payment for actual damage. It's a different part of the contract.
So, what is it?
You should be Tom Rebini, he said.
So now you're saying that,
guys like him at
that he's allowed to go and claim from the workers' comp much more than he would otherwise halakhically be entitled to.
Yes. Therefore, workers.
And show them that.
This is only true though for workers or anywhere there's money that's passing hands and contract is making. I'm coming into the swimming pool. I'm paying for use of the swimming pool. So you're giving me the swimming pool in exchange plus coverage of insurance if any damage comes. I'm hiring you as my worker and I'm giving you wages for the worker plus insurance for any damage that takes place in insurance.
But if
you're just visiting the house as because you're my friend and there's no contract, so you're working for me, not employing me, I'm not charging you for benefit, you're just walking in the house. Oop, and you slip and you break your leg.
And no one is negligent.
There's no contract there that can say that you're obligated to pay for that damage.
No, you have to be.
And therefore, we only can go on halacha now. And if halacha says you're chayav, halacha says you're not chayav, you're not chayav. And many times, you're not going to, even if it says you're chayav, you're not going to be able to get the compensation that you were wishing for through such a damage.
But it doesn't make any difference that he took God off for his own self gain.
The guy's accepted it.
Why do we care?
He accepted it. He saw it and he accepted that. He didn't cause him to cut his finger off.
He put his finger in the wrong place.
Something like 20 years ago, in the second paragraph of Bava Kamma, isn't there something
let it
show
you go.
Sure,
he's not a machine. Sure has his own thing.
but the property, you can't have a wild shore running around.
If I stand in front of the
shore, that's Hilchos Shor, that's a different thing. And even if that's we're talking about damages. Mr. Shem, we get to damages, we'll discuss exactly when you're damaged, how you're damaged. But here we're talking about asking for money, which are not halakhically entitled to, through the insurance company, which you're allowed to if there's a contract, because that's understood that you're covered under those contract rules to get compensated for those situations.
Let me ask one thing. In the workers' compensation arena, the most litigated point is whether somebody is considered an employee or an independent contractor. So you come in and you hire me for a day. There's no black and white rule on that. So am I allowed to? Is there an implied contract there? If it's not black and white, that I'm called an employee.
If it's under if the contract doesn't say that he's liable, so it's not liable. How do we define whether the contract says he's liable or not?
Yeah.
Then we do look at the laws of the country.
We do.
In order to define what the minhag, it covers.
Okay.
Now, for the next last 10 minutes of this year, and preparation for next week's year. Because we're so close to the subject, we might as well talk about it. So we're going to talk about the laws of prohibition to going to the secular courts. So let me just give you an introduction, and it's not on this paper, so you can just concentrate on me. And I'm going to now give you quickly 20 halachas concerning
20
secular laws. Now listen,
20.
Listen, Captain, stop me if you don't understand. Okay, if you don't understand anything, please stop. One who goes to non-Jewish courts or secular courts could be transgressing three averus. Chilul Hashem, the prohibition of stealing, because you may be getting money which is not due to you, halakha. And thirdly, the actual issa of going to the secular courts or the Beis Mishpat, which is called Lifneihem, you have to do in front of Beis Din, v'lo Lifnei Akum, and not through secular courts.
Does this include arbitration?
We'll get there. Okay. Anything, you've got questions which I haven't yet mentioned, we'll get. So three averus which are involved here. The rabbis consider this a very strict prohibition. They compare it, says the Maharal, like serving a Avodah Zarah. The consequences for doing these averus are, it could be, you are possible to be a witness. It means you've gone and you're now a witness under the Kedushin may not be found. You may not, under the circumstances, depending how knowledgeable of the halakhas, after tonight you'll be very knowledgeable, you may not be allowed to call up to the Torah for aliyah. Sometimes you'll be put into chayrim for doing this. A married woman who does this is considered a rebellious woman and has the status halakhic rebellious woman, maybe able to get rid of her without paying the ksuba, or maybe marry another wife on top of her. One may have the status that where he writes the Sefer Torah could be possible.
Okay.
And if he touches wine, you may have to throw away the wine.
Or just from
them.
One!
Now listen to the next one. What did you say?
Why is the Sefer Torah possible?
If a goy writes the Sefer Torah, it's possible, yes? So you may have the status of a goy.
Of an akum.
Uh-huh. One who helps encourages someone to transgress this prohibition is not only called Lifnei Iver, but is as if he himself has carried out these Isurim. So, for example, a lawyer who encourages or helps his client to go to court is under this Issa. A judge who works in secular courts is under this Issa. Even a rab who gives permission for his member of his congregation to go to a secular court is also under this issa, because the only one who can give you permission is a Beis Din. There's one minute instance when you don't need a Beis Din, but generally that's true. One is also to sign any document which has a clause in it which says if there's a dispute we are going to go to the secular courts.
This is only with a Jew or even with a
Goy?
This prohibition is based on the concept of Chilul Hashem. Why? Because of Chilul Hashem. Therefore, if you have to sign the contract, because it doesn't exist without the contract and you need the need, for example, gas companies, electric companies, then it's not called Chilah Hashem, because you're not doing it because you're choosing it, you're doing it because you have to, and that's what
called Chilah Hashem. Like any credit card company application.
But if you have just individual contracts, it's a problem, even with non-secular Jews.
What happened with the guy though?
The guy is a discussion. It's not secular Jews, it's a problem. And then in America, we have...
Non-secular or secular?
You mean secular Jews?
No, sorry. Secular Jews, sorry.
In America, therefore...
You have this problem, often.
You have this problem constantly.
This is Rabnis and Karelis. The people in America don't believe me when I was telling the person
like the
over there. No. Don't have to do the deal.
Well, I don't have to do it. What are you don't have to do?
Don't write the contract. You don't have to have this clause in the contract.
No,
by law, the gas companies have to have this clause.
The other guy won't sign it if you don't have that.
Okay, so don't sign it. So don't have the deal. Don't
so
do
I don't
the
have
deal.
To deal with the gas company either.
No, so you don't have gas in your house.
So it's a matter of how necessary
yes.
it is?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. A lawyer's he's trying to protect his family. Parnosa. It's good parnosa. Now you tell him, if you prepare such a contract and it's a major deal, I mean tens of millions of dollars,
yes.
and you'll lose that client and all your partners, you get thrown out, you get fired, and you'll never work again, you still say, well, how's that?
All Losa says in the Torah, you have to give up all your money.
Are you a lawyer?
I was for 25 years.
Okay, then you should know this is the smallest halachic problem that a lawyer has.
I used to teach this stuff to lawyers.
Now, don't worry. I was dealing with a $10 million deal in America with somebody over there. And the other side was saying, like you, if you don't have this clause, then I'm going to pull out. And I had to go to Renissan Karelitz, and Renissan goes, you have to take the clause out. I went back to him, and he didn't pull out, because at the end of the day, we came to some compromise, which you'll see at the end of the time, which was perfectly acceptable, even for Goyim. It's perfectly acceptable, you'll see at the end of the day,
There's a Goy on the deal, you don't have to have
it. If there's one Jew involved, you've got a problem. There's two partners, one Jew, one Goy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You know what, in this case... The guy was perfectly okay, it's the Jew who didn't want to change it.
That's right.
Yeah. Not uncommon.
Even if one signs such a document, one is still perfect. You can't go to the base court, the bitch spots, obviously, even if you signed in it. And even when you go to Basin are going to ignore that clause and the Paskin according to Allah. Going to in front of Israeli courts, according to the Chazon Ish, is much worse than going to secular courts in the
world. Why worse?
Because they're Jews.
She's causing all them to...
They're Jews.
Manis, now you know why I'm here and not practicing law.
Going to secular courts that deal with specific issues is also osa. That means the Beit Din Avodah. That means... dispute courts or the family courts are just as bad halakhically, even though there may be one or two left-wing rabbis who hold not like that, but all mainstream Rabbonim and Gedolim say that it's also to go to those specific courts.
Why would they
that
say
that? Includes Rav Nissen Karelitz, Rav Eliashiv Zatzal, Rav Vosner, and also Rav Herzog.
Why do some left-wing rabbis allow it?
What?
Why do some left-wing rabbis allow it?
Because they're not really rabbis.
We're not going to go into that.
No,
good again. Now, it is permitted to go out of arbitration. You're allowed to go to arbitration. Yeah, for example, the diamond balls, you're allowed to go to...
So you're allowed to sign the contract.
Yeah, because they're not going to decide on law of the country, they're going to decide on using sinful logic, natural things, minhagim, and that's allowed to. In a country where there's no base, according to Eliashiv, very big chumah, he says even in a country where there's no base, you're not allowed to go to secular courts.
That's probably a
dust. Yeah. Okay. I was just saying that chumah. One may go to secular courts when the other side refuses to go to base, but only after receiving a heter from base. It's not enough from a rav or institution that pretends to be a basin, also is not good enough. You have to have a very established basin to give you the rights to go to the court.
Yeah.
Usually basin gives permission only after the other side was summoned three times and doesn't turn up. A claim against a non-Jew, a one-time summons is good. However, with an irreligious Jew, Each case is different, and Beis Din will decide whether he's likely or not likely to turn up, whether you need one time or three times.
Why would you have against the
Andrew, you have to summon the Beis Din.
Yes.
Why do you have an Andrew to the
Because Beis Din? You can't say that his law is better than my law. You say, try and say that your law is better than his law.
Wait. Why if you're in a fight with a guy, you have to go to Beis Din?
Because you can't say that his law to decide a dispute is better than Jewish law.
I never heard that before.
That is
I should touch but put the Misholish and should win for Zitzak, and then it says over there.
So that means in America, a lawyer is drafting an agreement, whether it's between Jews or whether it's with Goyim.
That's what I said.
Based on Chilul Hashem, that's a Chilul Hashem issue.
Yes.
He has to.
Yes, that's what I said. With a Goy, there's also an issue. I didn't say it's not as bad with a Jew, but it's also
never heard that.
A claim against the government body who's not allowed to be in Beis Din according to the government law. The Beis Din gives government bodies are not allowed to appear in Beis Din according to the government law.
A claim against the
government body, like in the area, you're not, or Bituch Lumi, they're not allowed to go to Beis Din.
You mean for these elections, they wouldn't be allowed to come?
No, they weren't allowed to go to Beis Din. Therefore, you go to Beis Din and they give permission automatically. They don't even do one time that. One may bring a claim against car insurance company to the secular courts, as long as the claim is only to receive insurance money from the insurance company and has no consequences to personal property. Last two halakhas and then we'll finish. It is permitted to voluntarily go to arbitration, as we said, but there's room to be machmir that the person you choose as a arbitrator should be a qualified dayan and not some a guy who's nothing to do with halacha. There's room to be machmir, but it's only a khumra, and of course you can go even if it's not unqualified.
If
it's a goy, if it doesn't matter, you can even go to a goy arbitrator. That's why in America it's not a problem. There's such a situation called an organized insurance court in New York, at least, JAMS. Yes?
All over the country.
Yeah, all over the country. And therefore, put that in your contract and everyone was happy. And that's what happened in this case in America.
What does JAMS stand for?
JAMS. What does it stand for?
Judicial arbitration, mediation,
yeah. Service, like that. So it's a chumra to choose a dayan, but if you can't, okay, don't go to JAMS. Fine, go to JAMS. Now, mediation is always the best, better than Beis Din and arbitration mediation. Why is that? Because it brings shalom. Because mediation, by definition, means we have consent from both sides, and that's always better to have shalom. Then,
but they don't then Jewish concepts.
Okay, but if you both agree at the end of the day, that means I'm happy with you. You're happy with me, and we're signing.
Why is that?
Yes,
we've been in arbitration for 2 years.
Not arbitration, mediation.
Why is that not a
mediation?
It's not mediation because they're not going on Goyish law. They're just using logic. Therefore, not choosing another law system. That is all. Introduction for next week's share.
Arbitration is different from
I don't understand. By government bodies.